This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Well, right now, we go back to Raleigh, North Carolina, and we bring on the director of athletics at NC State University, Mr. Boo Corrigan. Boo, first of all, I really appreciate you coming on board. I know this has been a bizarre, to say the least, a weekend with so much crazy stuff going on, so I really appreciate the time. If you don't mind, can you walk us through Friday and then into Saturday morning from a timing perspective, how this went down from your perspective, from an NC State side of things? How did it happen?
Well, thanks for having me on, Chris. Good to see you as well. Just a bizarre time frame overall, back as we're looking at the excitement of coming off of Monday and winning a big game against Vanderbilt, a 1-0 game, and going into Tuesday and Wednesday and starting to get a feel for, hey, there may be some things going on with our team and in around the testing. And you get to Friday where you have a couple of people test positive. On Friday, the delay that goes on there to figure out how are we going to play. We come up with 13 members of the pack that go out there and compete at as high a level as you can, right? And going out there and the job that the phrase we're using is Pack 13 does on that day to compete, come back off the field, go back into testing. As a result of the positive tests, we test both vaccinated and unvaccinated players. We find out late that evening that really the goal is to test into being able to play, not to be eliminated, but being able to play. We find out that we've got additional people positive late or early Saturday morning. Was disappointed in that, you know, the timing of it, and how we ended up in, I think, about 1 o'clock in the morning. On Saturday, we find out that we're not going to be able to play as a result of 8 different positive tests. And lo and behold, the game becomes a no contest. And, you know, we fought it. We did. We were fighting all the way along the lines. You know me well enough, Mark, that this is not kind of a sit back and let it happen to us, that we were constantly pushing and constantly seeing what we could do and communicating with them. And, you know, we made the decision early on, when you go back to September, that the medical experts were going to be the ones that determined whether we played or not. And they determined that we were not going to be able to play. And, you know, then we turned our focus to our players and trying to get them home.
Boo, what could you do once you found out after midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, in terms of being able to say, hey, listen, are there other options that we, meaning NC State, can present to the NCAA or the health officials, whoever it may be, and to kind of delay this decision? Was there anything you really could do?
There really isn't anything we can do at that point. We made the decision as a collective that the medical advisors were going to be the ones to drive these decisions. We asked about additional testing. We asked if there was anything else that we could do. At that point, when you're talking about a travel roster, 27 players with contact tracing, with everything else, and the numbers that we had that were positive, there were no other options for us at that point.
Hmm. Boo, obviously, you know, your attention now turns towards September 2nd and USF and starting the football season and getting ready for that. You're going to be in a lot of conversations with other ADs and committees, with the NCAA throughout the summer, as a lot of teams and people point to this situation as a problem and something that needs to be corrected and to not have to go through again. What would your recommendations be to those people in terms of how to make the process better, to change protocols, something we need to do going in the fall so that this type of a situation doesn't happen again?
Well, Chris, the biggest thing from where I sit is the communication and being able to communicate. It's really tough when you got a press release coming out at 2 o'clock in the morning and not much else on top of that. You know, as a group, you know, we did do a great job all year. I think before we start worrying about September 2nd, I think we need to celebrate this baseball team. And it's a shame. It's brutal. It's beyond words that they weren't able to complete their season, right? And we're angry about that. And we're upset about that. But by the same token, it doesn't take away what they accomplished this year. You know, there'll be plenty of time to get to September 2nd. Right now, we need to focus on our players. We need to focus on, we did get everyone home yesterday. Last evening, we had the final players come back, celebrate what they were able to accomplish this year, make sure that we understand everything that occurred, that we're formulating. We've got a group here on campus that's looking at everything that occurred and making sure that we document everything that occurred and where there may have been missteps, and make sure that we're communicating that back with the NCAA.
But when you talk about communication, and really in this particular case, it's a lack of communication. If you had great communication, it would have been a little bit easier for you, the NCAA, for college baseball, for the fan, if everybody kind of knew what was going down. Why were you told anything about why there wasn't any follow-up by the NCAA other than a 2:10 a.m. press release? Because I think they could have eliminated a lot of headache, a lot of chaos, a lot of conspiracy theories. Yeah, it will still hurt. There would still be angst. I get all that. But, man, if people would have just been able to connect the dots at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, not 2:10 a.m., it would have made life a little bit easier, even though the hurt's still going to be there for a long time for NC State fans. But why was there a lack of communication? I mean, you're in the middle of all this stuff. How does that slip through an NCAA crack?
You know, Pat, I put out a statement at 8:30 yesterday morning. We put out another statement with more details about 5:30 to try to demystify, if you will, a lot of what occurred, and they chose not to. So I really don't know. Kind of asking me to answer a question for someone else. I wish I had a better answer for you, but we don't have one on why they didn't put anything else out.
Blue, I can tell you that there are fans out there that would say, and I know it's a very politically charged situation. There are fans that would say, hey, if our entire baseball team had been vaccinated, we would have never gone through this because the protocols would have stated that that whole group of people that were vaccinated would have never been tested to begin with, if you're going by the NCAA's protocols coming into the College World Series. So you're going to be fielding a lot of questions about that going into football season, and I think coaches are going to have a lot more pressure on them in the coming months to think about making sure their whole team is vaccinated. Do you agree with that? And you've got to handle that now from an administrative point of view, don't you?
Well, I mean, from a being at a state school, it's a highly personal decision that everyone has to make as they're going through this. And we've worked on educating. We've worked on the protocols that we have in place. If you are vaccinated, the protocols you have in place if you are not vaccinated. But at the end of the day, this is a personal decision that everyone has to make on their own. And we support their right to make that decision. But again, nothing that has occurred diminishes from what this team accomplished this year. You think back to going down to Louisiana Tech and winning down there in their stadium. You think about going to Arkansas and losing 21-2. And coming back and beating the SEC Pitcher of the Year, and then going to Omaha and beating the Big, the Pac-12 Pitcher of the Year, and beating a top five draft pick, and then coming back with 13 players, and you know, taking them to the ninth inning with winning run at the plate. You know, and I don't want that to get lost in this whole thing, is what this team accomplished in the job that our student athletes did this year to get themselves into a position where they're competing for a national championship. It's just brutal that we didn't get to finish the year.
Boo, I don't need to tell you about the passion of your fan base, because you're right there in the middle of it, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think it was never more evident of the amount of people that showed up to welcome those kids home. And it was awesome. I mean, really, in fact, we just played the video last hour, and I don't care what team you root for in the ACC, you watch that and you say, you know what, that's pretty cool. As awful as that thing ended, for that fan base to be sitting there and packing this place and couldn't welcome those guys home fast enough. Do you sense, and on this, I know it's kind of an obscure question, do you sense that maybe, and I mentioned this earlier, that the passion of NC State fans, and I know they hurt. I know this one may be the all-time gut check, right? This is an all-timer. But all the frustration and angst from what happened at 2:10 a.m. on Saturday morning can be turned in a direction that, hey, you know, Dave Doran's got football rolling. Your baseball program, obviously, was national championship worthy. You love what Kevin Keats is building from a basketball perspective. I don't need to go into wrestling and all the other Olympic sports where you've had great success. NC State fans want to win, and they want to win big. And I'm not going to go through all the details of how long it's been since, because we can waste all the time with that. But do you get a sense that maybe all of this energy that's being built up in terms of what happened on Saturday night at 2:10 a.m. can be headed in the sense that, hey, guess what? This is needs to be kind of activated for our fan base moving forward, that we're here to win championships. And instead of worrying about conspiracy theories and woulda, coulda, shouldas, and sue them and let's fight and all that stuff, hey, put that pressure and angst and energy into how do we get better as a program to go win championships.
100%. Yeah, I mean, and by the way, you didn't mention Wes Moore, who's won
right,
back-to-back ACC championships with the women's basketball program and the growth there as well. But no, I think that's what our goal is. And, you know, 2,000 people showing up to welcome a team back on their own. And you know, do you do something when you're dealing with a team coming back from quarantine that's going to quarantine? I don't think you do. But I think them being there speaks to the passion of our fan base, right? Speaks to who we are, speaks to the strength of the pack, right? That everyone involved with NC State is part of the strength of the pack. And what do we do to generate that positive energy moving forward? You know, we're going to do something with our baseball stadium on campus. You know, we got energy behind that. We got the want to. We got an architect and we got a plan. So how are we going to move forward with that? And again, to your point, back, we've had a great year athletically across the board. We've had a great year academically. I think financially we're going to come out of this thing okay. And how do we continue to focus on being the very best NC State that we can be and let that carry us forward?
But one more thing. At the end of the day, I don't think there's any doubt, and I think this needs to be clarified for every NC State fan and college baseball fan, that if there was any way possible to play on Saturday, whether it be 13 guys, 11, whatever, you would have played, right? I mean, if that turned out to be the hand that was dealt, we would have played. But the fact that, you know what, this was nothing more than a numbers game, you didn't have the necessary numbers to be able to participate. Is it? I mean, that's the bottom line of bottom lines, isn't it, for Saturday?
We wanted to play. We wanted to be there. We fought for the opportunity to be there. I don't think it's my place, Pac, to tell people how hard we're fighting for everything, right? You just do. And you fight and you're angry and you try to figure out how do we move this forward and how do we represent this great university? How do we represent and get our players back on the field? But at the end of the day, it wasn't an option. We turned it over to the medical personnel in September that they were going to be the ones to lead us through this. The medical experts came back and said we couldn't play. And while as unfortunate as you can get and as disappointing as you can get, that's where we ended up.
Well, listen, I thank you again for coming on. I know it's been a wild 48 hours and change with everything that's going on. We appreciate you coming on, trying to at least lay the land and just say, hey, listen, here's where we are. But again, it just appears a lack of communication just made this uncomfortable for all parties involved, and it starts at the top of the NCAA.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be with both of y'all and say our piece of where we are. And again, remember how remarkable this team was, right? And what they accomplished this year. And I was talking to some people around here. We put 13 players on the field against the top 14 in the country and did everything but win. And that shouldn't be lost on what they did and how they came together and how they represent this great university.
Well said. Listen, stay safe. And again, we appreciate the time.
All right. Y'all the best. Go Pack.
Thank you, Boo.
Boo Corrigan, Director of Athletics Pack at NC State. And, you know, I know he's going
to go on record here.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go on record. I'm going to tell, as I often do, I'm going to tell the ACC network how to spend its money. Aaron Katzman, Amy Rosenfeld, I know you're watching. There's going to be an ACC spotlight on this NC State baseball team. You know, like a half hour special for sure coming out, because to his point, all the things that they were able to do to get to this point and then the disappointment of not being able to get it done in the end and not having an opportunity to get it done at the end, all of this discussion can't take away from that run that they made. And so I think I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't have a whole lot of pull. I've certainly got a lot less pull than you and Durham have, but
sure.
I think it's worthy of a half hour long show, and I'll even volunteer to do some voiceover work for the right price.
Oh, so you want a little something on the side? That's not going to be a pro bono there, right, Cotter? You're unbelievable, unbelievable. But as far as Boo, I just want to say one thing about Boo Corrigan. It'd have been real easy to say, you know, guys, I appreciate the opportunity, but I'm going to pass. He wants to get the word out that they did everything in their power to play, to play, not to not play, but to play. And, you know, from, hey, let's go play a doubleheader. NC State got hit with numbers or the lack thereof and time. And again, when you have a sport that's played back-to-back days and you get 8 positive tests, you're in no man's land. I mean, it really, it's just seemed like there was nothing that NC State could have possibly done to figure it out unless the NCAA gave them the ability to have a couple days off to see how many guys they could get back.
Pack, based on what we saw on Friday night, there's no way that they were going to not play on Saturday had they had any opportunity to play at all. And I think that's another positive you take from this whole situation. We learned a lot about this NC State team on Friday night in terms of what they're made of.
Yeah, if they could have done it, they would have played. But there was just no option, according to Boo Corrigan. Quick break, come back. I'll take your phone calls when we come back. 844-SAY-ACC. And Mike Rooney's going to join us coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes as well. But NC State is the story today. We'll hear from Wolfpack Nation when we return. It's Packer and Durham. Got Chris Cotter filling in for Wes. And, of course, we're presented by New York Life.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
You are watching Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham, you heard them, man. Presented by New York Life. We're here till 10 a.m. May thanks to Boo Corrigan, who just joined us. Mentioned Mike Rooney will join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. But Chris, we'll take calls too if you're in the mood. 844-SAY-ACCN. I know NC State fans are still upset. I get it. Totally understandable. And I thought what Boo's talked about in terms of, hey, what were your options at, you know, 1 a.m. Saturday morning? And is there any way you can delay the game? Well, you can't. You can't delay the game. Can you get additional testing? Well, that wasn't allowed. I mean, I'm not sure there was any way for NC State to change the course of direction by the time they had reached 2 a.m. Quite frankly, it was just, hey, you don't have enough players to play. If State had 13 guys that were good to go, man, they play Saturday with 13 guys, just like they did the day before. But it just appears that NC State was in no man's land.
Yeah, the change had to come before the start. If you're going to change anything, everybody has to agree to a different protocol, if that's the case, or from now until you know, the fall starts. You know, that's when the change comes. Can't change anything on Friday night. The protocols are in place. You go through the protocols. They didn't have enough players after going through the protocols that everybody agreed to before the start of this thing. So their hands were tied. They didn't have enough players. Couldn't play.
And if you're Vanderbilt or any opponent, you'd have gone, hey, the rules are the rules. I mean, hate it for you. Stinks. But it is what it is. And so I hate it for NC State. I do, because that team, like I said, was good enough to win the national championship, and they're not going to get the chance to prove it. And that's the worst thing. It's one thing to play, lose. Hey, we come up short. You can deal with that. But not to have the chance to possibly close the deal. But the law is the law. And unfortunately, it is what it is. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, though, the NCAA did not make things any easier for anybody as they were trying to connect the dots and figure out why is this happening? I mean, there was just no follow-up at all by the NCAA for general fans, NC State Nation, college baseball fans. I mean, everybody was literally left in the dark.
Still no follow-up, right? I mean, we literally are still – all the information we've gotten has been from – reporters who have just done digging and found out information from the team and whatnot. We still haven't gotten anything other than that 2:10 a.m. piece of information from the NCAA, and they just said, that's it. We've got a bigger fish to fry than worrying about these emotionally charged fans, and understandably so.
And listen, NC State has an incredibly passionate fan base. And I know you're like, well, let's sue them. And like I said this 10 times already today. Let's sue them. Let's do this. That is a waste of time. That doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't. That's not working. Well, guess what? There's a game tonight. So what legal action are you talking about? That is a total waste of time. The conspiracy theories went bonkers when people were getting out of bed on Saturday morning regarding NC State's baseball team being sent home. I think that if you listen to what Boo just said, if you try to connect the dots from what the protocol says, 4 + 4 = 8. That's an important number because that's the number of positive COVID tests. You throw in contact tracing, you basically have wiped out your roster. And when you play a sport that plays day after day and you throw in positive tests and contact tracing, you don't have a roster. There isn't a team. And you can sit there and try to say, hey, can we delay it? Which you heard Boo try to talk about, hey, can we get additional testing? Let's not make this decision now. Can we play a doubleheader 2 days from now? All that got turned down. And so I get it. I mean, that's unfortunately the business aspect of it. But I know fans are going to want, hey, we should be playing. I get all that. But at some point in time, you run out of options. And I think NC State, unfortunately, tried every option known to man. They just ran out of time. Couldn't do it.
Yeah. Based on the current rules, if you want to be upset about something, as I think a lot of people are, and understandably, change the rules or do something different with that protocol. But the protocol that's in place, they follow it.
And you're not going to be able to change it tonight. I mean, that's just not going to happen. I mean, believe me, we've watched the NCAA with name, image, and likeness with a concept that was 3 years in the making, and they still don't know what they're doing. So what do you think? You're going to change the rules overnight? That isn't realistic either. Take some more calls here. 844. Go ahead.
Yeah, Chris. I was going to say they're going to err on caution. They're going to err on that side too. So, you know what I'm saying on that? They're not going to try and bend it to allow a team with positives to play. They're going to go the exact opposite from that, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, I'm just not sure there was anything else NC State could do other than you hope that there wasn't going to be more positive tests, and that was the end of the story. More phone calls. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Ben in Virginia is up next. Ben, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Sure. Our pleasure.
I was just calling just to say that I feel like the NCAA, like always, is slow and outdated. You have 20,000 people in the stands that aren't getting tested, and you got D1 athletes that are out there. I'm sitting here staring at my neighborhood swim team practice, and these little 10-year-old girls aren't getting tested. Let the boys play.
As I mentioned earlier, the amount of people showing up in Omaha, shoulder to shoulder, mask, no mask, vaccinated, non-vaccinated, I think that is a legitimate conversation that you can have, but for another day. The NC State issue is what we're going to address. But I can assure you this afternoon on radio that will be discussed because, you know, you got to stay consistent. And I say this all the time. You want an answer to a question, follow the money. You'll get the answer.
Yeah. Don't follow the science because we don't even know what the science is. I mean, and who to believe in that regard, right? So how can you follow that? Because that changes every day. And it's become so politicized. There's one side and another side, and science is supposed to be right down the middle. There shouldn't be politics, but there is. To your point, that is a whole nother discussion for another day. But that didn't come into play here because The rules were already in place before the College World Series started.
Exactly right. Let me go to Jim in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Jim, good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment back. That sure. If Vandy wins this championship, then they need to put an asterisk by their name because they did not earn it as to what happened to NC State. That's it. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Jim. We'll see how that plays out. Mississippi State and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Go ahead, Chris.
A lot of people would want that. I would disagree with that. I mean, they're going to earn it by having to beat a hell of a Mississippi State team 2 out of 3 coming up. And they've played a full season to get here. So I don't agree with that. I know some people would, but I think they're going to be – if they win, they'll be the national champs.
Well,
no asterisk.
Here's the thing. From an NC State perspective, you know, if that makes you feel better, fine. But that doesn't change what happened. And so I would just tell you this, and I know this is hard. If you're an NC State fan, it'd be hard turning on the television tonight and watching it. I get it. But for college baseball, this was a lose-lose proposition. I hate to say it. And I love the College World Series, but the NCAA's lack of communication, the way they handled this, it was not good for the sport. I mean, it's a great tournament. These are tremendous teams. Whoever wins it between Vandy and Mississippi State, good congratulations. Great clubs. NC State was a great club. But this was not good for the sport. You don't want this to happen. I mean, nobody's rooting for this. So that's what we got.
And it was a great tournament to this point, too. Think about that. I mean, it was
awesome.
Great, whether you go all the way, regionals, super regionals, the World Series, everything to this point was a banner year for college baseball.
Yep, and the tournament until the black eye from the weekend with the testing, I mean, the matches, the games, the drama, ninth inning excitement. I mean, it's had everything. This tournament's been fantastic. But we'll see what happens from a championship standpoint. That'll be determined this week. Just a quick reminder, by the way, Mike Rooney's coming up here momentarily, but you need to check out In Play on Tuesday. Kelsey Riggs, EJ Manuel react to the biggest stories of the week around the ACC and put their unique twist on topics dominating the headlines in the league. Check it out tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. We'll get Mike Rooney on here, get his take. Was there anything NC State could do? Mike Rooney joins the program next. Packer and Durham, I got Chris filling in for Wes. You got us right here on ACC Network, and we are, of course, presented by New York Life.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. Many thanks to Boo Corrigan, Director of Athletics of NC State, who just joined us earlier to start off the Power Hour. Mike Rooney now joins us. And, of course, he did a great job out in Omaha for ACC Network and other stuff he's working on. All right, Mike, man alive, you've been covering this sport for a long, long time. In your lifetime, have you ever seen a crazier Saturday, 2:10 a.m., the number one, a baseball game going on, and then, of course, the NCAA announcement regarding NC State.
Yeah, I mean, Pac, in fairness, it's my first global pandemic also. So that is, it feels like all of our lives have been on the fly for the last 16 months. But, yeah, it was, I thought what Chris said at the end of the last segment was so spot on. And I think that's one of the reasons that my heart hurts so much right now because, my heart hurts for NC State's players, coaches, fans, because that team was on such a run. But it was an incredible College World Series. You know, as someone who's a college baseball nerd, gosh, it was amazing. You know, the games, every night game was a one-run game. You know, the crowds were amazing. It was, gosh, it was so much fun in a million different ways. And then, you know, it was, hey, after the game on Friday, we were talking about, hey, if NC State gets some players back, I mean, what those 13 kids did against Kumar Rocker, you know, they almost beat Kumar Rocker with the skeleton crew. And so, oh, gosh, I mean, you know, it's the Ron Burgundy, right? Glass case of emotion over here. Still trying to parse it all out. But, man, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in right now.
Hey, Runes, you were out there in Omaha. So you certainly were – you saw 20,000 people at TD Ameritrade. You saw the hotels all booked, the lobbies full of people. It just seems odd. And I know these were the protocols and the rules, but if you're going to have that element there at the College World Series – then why are our rules for the players who are these healthy 18 to 20-year-olds so stringent to the fact that players who are vaccinated aren't being kept out of games?
Yeah, I think, CC, that's the give and take right there, right? That, you know, I said to a lot of people just walking around Omaha, it's the first time in 16 months that I felt like, oh my gosh, like this pandemic might be mostly behind us. You know, it's the only time in the last 16 months that I've seen human life post pandemic, you know, or pre pandemic, I guess is the right way to say it. I mean, we were all acting as if, you know, it was over, except for, you know, the 18 to 22 year olds. And so, who, as you mentioned, one of my teammates at Notre Dame, who's a physician, he's not an epidemiologist, just to be clear, but he said your exact thought. That, hey, the most safe part of the population is in Omaha is the one that's being held to the highest standard. But I do think, in fairness to the NCAA, the protocols weren't a sneak attack. And I think if I'm a fall coach, you know, soccer, football, volleyball, whatever it is, man, this is a real, you know, smash in the face, if you will, that, okay, man, how do we get our arms around this? I think the fairest criticism of the NCAA is that they're just not awesome at communication. They're just not. And I feel like this is a time where we, you know, as human beings, I want as much open and honest dialogue right now as possible. That it feels like that's the way we move forward as human beings getting through this thing. And that's just not their thing. And that's really disappointing. I think it impacts situations like this. But I think if I'm a fall coach, that's what I want. I want really smart people not worried about liability around my players, really talking this thing out. Because, you know, again, in fairness, the protocols were not a sneak attack.
Mike, after talking to Boo Corrigan within the last half hour, I just get a sense there really wasn't anything NC State could do once it got to the Friday night testing, right? There were just no options after you come back with 8 positives.
I think, guys, and I don't want to get into the, you know, because this is all a personal choice for all of us, right? The whole vaccination, non-vaccination thing. But I think that really, as I understand the rules, and just quite honestly, guys, I feel like I don't even feel like I understand everything with 100% confidence. But whereas I sit here this morning, what I understand, it really, like, the only option is to be vaccinated or not vaccinated. Once, you know, you choose to not be vaccinated as a player or coach, there are a certain set of protocols. You go down that road, and then, you know, to your point, I didn't feel like there were any options at that point because, you know, the things that I've read, you get 8 positives, and now you're in a status called outbreak. And, you know, certainly, guys, we could debate the policies. I personally don't feel, you know, educated enough, or it's not my area of specialty to debate the policies, but clearly they're debatable. But I think, yeah, once we got to that point, the horse is out of the barn.
You know, one area that you are clearly educated on, though, is ACC baseball. And you and I have talked about this throughout the course of the year. There's just the power structure in the ACC is kind of wide open right now with Notre Dame and Pitt and Virginia Tech and some of these teams, and now NC State and Virginia, two teams that didn't even host regionals, going to the College World Series. Not that Miami and Florida State won't be back, but I feel like there's an opportunity here for NC State with a positive light shined on them in terms of what they were able to do here to be able to carry a little momentum. And, you know, we've talked about how each season is its own and it's going to be tough to do that. But do you feel like this is something positive that NC State can take and to kind of keep themselves up there in the top four or five teams in the league to be competitive and to be one of those teams that could make a run at the College World Series every year moving forward?
Yeah, CC, I think it's an awesome point. And I would say I want to start with the league globally. First of all, I got to tell you guys, I was so proud to be in Omaha representing the ACC. And, you know, certainly I love all of college baseball. But, you know, I think about our crew. Kelsey Riggs, so talented. She was so fun to work with. Danny Graves was amazing. You know, Danny Presser, Aaron Katzman. It was, man, I just felt so proud to represent the league in Omaha. And, you know, NC State was, I'm just going to say it, guys, they were the best team out there. They were. They just were. They were winning this thing. And, you know, I think it was a reminder that NC State has made the NCAA tournament 19 out of the last 24 seasons under Elie Avent. And, you know, Chris Hart and Clint Chrysler. I mean, this is an elite program that, they, to your point, CC, they were really breaking out. They were really breaking through. And it, to me, it was a reminder of how consistently nationally relevant they've been. And then, you know, you start having the conversations about, the hey, NC State or UNC was really young this year. Virginia Tech was really young. We talk about Notre Dame. Man, Notre Dame gave Mississippi State everything they wanted and more. And now Mississippi State's playing for the national title. I think it was a very unique year in the league. I thought it was the deepest ACC I'd ever seen. Them playing 36 league games was an absolute mosh pit with weapons. I mean, it was craziness. And everybody was a little beat up. But when we got to the postseason, we saw what Notre Dame, Virginia, NC State accomplished. I think it was a great reminder back for me that, you know what, this is one of the elite leagues in the country and very easily could have left here with a national championship.
You know, the other thing too, Mike, I know all the attention's on NC State today, given how the season came to just a brutal halt. But I think Virginia's run got lost a little bit too, don't you? Because, I mean, you just mentioned you thought NC State
totally
was the best team out there. But the job Virginia did, you know, losing that first game in the regional, finding a way to grind through it, losing the first game in the Super Regional, found a way to beat Dallas Baptist. And then they rock and roll. And I go back to that game with Mississippi State with Griff McGarry, got the no-hitter in the eighth. And it really was the turning point of their run because woulda, coulda, shoulda, if's the biggest word in sports. If you close the deal, who knows what happens with the way Virginia was playing down the stretch?
Yeah, Pac, I think it's a great point. Virginia was, hey, and I think what's the Frank Costanza expression, right? We're back, baby. Yeah. You know, I had that feeling with Virginia where, you know, it has been a little bit of a downtrend since the national championship, and you missed the regionals in 18 and 19, but this team went through a lot. You know, preseason very highly ranked. You fall all over themselves early in the year, and they really climbed out of it and didn't do it in easy fashion. I mean, they had to really grind through this season. But, you know, Chris Newell, you could argue, is one of the very best position players in Omaha this year. Kyle Teal broke out this year in a big, big way. So, yeah, I think Virginia, they really, I think the six elimination games finally caught up with them in Omaha. The bullpen was fairly taxed. But I thought that, you know, you're looking at Virginia and Omaha and you're saying, these guys can play with any of these teams. Like, this is a legitimately excellent team. And again, that's why I thought it was such a great Omaha for the ACC, because both NC State and ACC, or NC State and Virginia, you know, we tend to kind of talk a lot about the SEC teams nationally. Those two teams showed up, Virginia and NC State, and they're trading punches with everybody.
Runes, to your point, in fairness to Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, two awesome teams that are going to be playing for the national championship starting tonight, does this, though, take away, in your mind, from whatever legacy they'll leave behind in terms of whichever team wins? Will there always be, in not just in NC State fans' minds, but in a lot of people's minds, an asterisk to this national championship?
Yeah, I think, I think, CC, no question. I think it's going to take people a long time I think we'll always remember the NC State when we think about this College World Series. I will say, in fairness, you just alluded to it, in fairness to Vandy and Mississippi State, none of this is their doing. And I'd say especially Mississippi State, you know, they have done some really good things to get here. Not that Vandy hasn't. I think that the thing that's tricky about Vandy is that, you know, they really have not played that well in the postseason. Now, you know, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter have been excellent, but their position player group has struggled defensively. They've been just okay offensively. I do anticipate that they will play very well this week because that's just how sports goes. But I'm torn, right? Like we'll always, this College World Series will always remember the NC State part of the series. They're part of the story. But for Vandy and Mississippi State, none of this is their doing. And you know, they deserve the recognition that comes from winning a national championship.
Mike, listen, always a pleasure. You do great work. Love the insight. Wish we had NC State still rocking for the championship. I know everybody in Raleigh does, too. But you know what? Like I said, I think NC State will be back. Elliott's built a really, really terrific program. And who knows, man? Maybe this time next year we'll have this whole thing figured out with COVID and the variants, and we can just go about our life and go down the road. But it's been an amazing, amazing tournament, to say the least.
Yeah, I hear you, boys. And what you just said, Pac, give me all of that, please. Yeah, let's do the College World Series next year, normal. But, awesome being with you guys.
You got it. Take care of yourself. Be good.
Thanks, Runes.
See you, boys.
Mike Rooney. We'll come back, put a bow on this crazy show, because you knew today was going to be nuts with the NC State story. It probably will be for a couple more days. That hurt won't go away. It shouldn't, because you know what? You love your team, and they played great. I mean, they really, really played great. We'll come back and talk about it. 844-SAY-ACCN. If you want to get a quick call in, we can do that, too. Got Chris Cotter filling in for Wes, who I expect to be back tomorrow from the Lynx. You got us on Packer and Durham, and it's presented by New York Life.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Monday show, which has been filled with passionate fans, upset and rightfully so, on how it all went down at 2:10 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Let's squeeze another call in here real quick. CW is in Virginia. CW, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Pack. How are you guys doing this morning?
Pretty good. What's going on?
Good.
Yeah, I will say congrats to the Pack to doing what they did this weekend. A good job to the coach. He's playing 3D chess with his arms tied around his back. And the Pack will be back again strong next year, ready to take down anybody that stands in their way. And really, I wanted to say about the NCAA, this is just another case that shows the action or inaction by the NCAA that seems to always go against the players. Isn't that what the NCAA was for? It was for the players? It just seems time and time again that there's cases that go against the NCAA existing than it is for the NCAA. There needs to be a restructuring needs to go on, but something really needs to happen. I think they are very lax. I think they're the only game in town, so they don't have to answer everybody, I believe, like other people would have to. And I just think there maybe needs to be a restructuring for that whole organization. And that's in my piece. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you, CW. There'd be a lot of people believe that perhaps the big boys should just take their ball and go create their own world. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't disagree with that. I don't.
I mean, this is another feather in that cap, isn't it? When you talk about the things that have happened in the past, and this is yet another instance where you say, you know, are these rules really in our best interest? They're, to your point, we've said it all morning long, they're black and white. I mean, we knew what they were going in. And you agree to it, but at some point in time, somebody is going to say, and maybe you'll get a group of people saying, we don't like those rules, and we're not going to do it. We're not going to participate in this championship or that championship, or we're going to do our own thing because you're not representing us. And maybe this is another step closer to that, although I don't think we're anywhere close to getting to that point yet.
The NCAA did not gain anything by having to announce that NC State couldn't play Saturday. That does not help the NCAA.
No.
But rules are rules, especially when the medical experts have the control during a pandemic, which we are still in one, by the way. And you throw in that Delta COVID variant, which throws another fake left go right, where you saw so many people who have been vaccinated who have tested positive. And I said earlier today, just because you've got the vaccination doesn't mean you're immune from testing positive. We saw that not only with NC State. We saw it with John Rahm a couple weeks ago at the Memorial. We saw it with Chris Paul of the NBA playoffs. We saw it with the New York Yankees a couple months ago where they had 9 guys vaccinated, all tested positive. Just because you have the vaccination doesn't mean that, hey, I'm good to go. But, again, the unfortunate timing of all of this was atrocious for NC State. And it was only countered by the NCAA's inability to communicate, which made things only worse. And that's kind of where we found ourselves.
Right.
So, crazy weekend though, Chris.
I'll say this real quick on that. You know, I'm sure the NCAA, and I'm sure there are plenty of people who agree with them, feel like not allowing players who have tested positive is acting in the best interest of the student athletes, both those who have tested positive and the others that they're playing with and against.
Yeah. Crazy show. I'm sure it will continue as the week goes on. Wes is back tomorrow. Mr. Cotter, always a pleasure, my man. Anytime you want to hang out with us, it's a phone call.
Okay, well, when the tech takeover comes your way in the next couple of weeks in July, I'm sure to expect your call before Roddy Jones. Just saying.
Talk to you later. Thanks to Lauren, Josh, Drew, the back row. We are back tomorrow, 7 a.m. sharp. Wes will be here. Packer and Durham presented by New York Live. Folks, enjoy your Monday.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.